Very happy to have with us right now the voice of the New York Giants. You can also hear him on Sirius XM NFL Radio, the one and only Bob Papa. Bob, welcome.
Nick, how are you?
Doing great, my man, and happy to have you with us. And want to start with this. After such a, I guess the word's heartbreaking, frustrating, whatever the word is, loss to the Eagles and just coming up short in that game, what's the mindset that this Giants team takes into this game against the Browns Sunday?
Really, it's like a back-to-work mindset. Giants head coach Tom Coughlin talked about it a short time ago, just about how, look, it was disappointing. We analyzed it. We realized where we made mistakes, and there's nothing we can do about it now. It's gone. We've lamented it. As he said, you know, I went in the confessional booth on Monday, but let's move on to the Cleveland Browns. And I think the team is taking on that same mindset. There's nothing you can do today, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, Sunday to correct what happened in Philadelphia Sunday night. So it's gone. It's a loss, and now you got to figure out how to get win number three.
Bob, this team takes its cues, as I mean most teams do, but when you think about Tom Coughlin's strength as a head coach, this is really what you just described is really the type of thing that sets him apart, right? And the impact that he has that these guys trust when he says something like that, and that message does get through.
Well, it really does, Vic. And I think, you know, you look at the coaches in the National Football League that have won Super Bowls and have been champions, and the players do listen. I mean, it's one thing. Every head coach would say the same thing, I'm sure, to their team in a meeting on a Wednesday and Thursday is, yeah, we got to put last week behind us. Let's move forward. Here's why. And let me give you all the reasons why. But if you haven't won two Super Bowls and you haven't had the kind of track record that he's had, I can see where some of these guys, because they're not all rocket scientists, let's face it. I can see where some of the guys might not sort of take the message as clearly as you would, but the guy standing in front of you, you know, took you to a Super Bowl and you won it last year, you know, you're apt to pay a little bit more attention. It carries a little bit more weight. And I think that's why this team, even last year, they're the first team to ever win a Super Bowl that had a four-game losing streak in the middle of their Super Bowl season, and they never pulled apart. They never imploded. They never finger-pointed. They stayed as one, and they listened to his message, which was always a positive one after those four losses, and they never got too down on themselves. So I think they'll have a good work week, and I really expect them to come out and play a better brand of football on Sunday.
When you look at the other big reason why this football team is a defending Super Bowl champ and still a contender, obviously it's Eli Manning. And we look at watching tape of that Eagles game, Bob, the thing that jumps out at me is how well he doesn't just complete passes, but how well he throws the football. That 14-yard touchdown pass to Victor Cruz really was a case of kind of threading a needle and just putting that ball only where Victor could get it and the perfect spot to score the touchdown. And then going into the fourth quarter, those back-to-back long throws that he hit were just so impressive as well. The one to Ramsey's Barton for 31 yards, and he comes right back to Dominic Hickson for a 41-yarder. Basically the same play, right? The play action and throw. He's just looks to be just so on his game.
Yeah, you know, I made the point last year that I felt like last season was the beginning of the next phase of Eli Manning's career, because he's always been a very good quarterback. And, I mean, was already a one-time Super Bowl MVP. But, you know, I think he's at the point in his career. He's 31. He's been in the same offense since the day he arrived here, 2004. He's basically had the same offensive coaches since the day he got here. And I think he's completely in sync with every piece of minutia that's in the Giants' playbook. And physically, he's matured. He's gotten bigger. He's stronger. He throws the ball much better now than he did 3 or 4 years ago. And I think this is just the beginning of Eli Manning's sweet spot as a professional. And I think what you just described there, Vic, is sort of the way he carries himself and the way he's playing. It's a confident way that he's playing. He's in total control of what's going on within the huddle. There's never any finger pointing. He doesn't yell at his offensive linemen. He doesn't yell at his running backs. He doesn't yell at his receivers if they miss a blitz pickup or he's getting hit a lot. He's just on to the next play. And I think You know, that kind of stuff is invaluable, and that's why you win two Super Bowls, when you have some like that that's very level-headed at that position.
Bob Papa, the voice of the Giants on the Giants Radio Network, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Bob, the Giants defense and the pass rush and the talent that they have up front, really the defining part of this football team, but some struggles to get some sacks. OCU Manure getting one of only a couple of sacks that the Giants had against the Eagles, and Chase Blackburn, I guess, had the other. But one of the things he was talking about afterward were quarterbacks getting rid of the ball so much faster, I guess, and making a point of getting it out quickly. So when you think of that and think of the Giants facing a rookie quarterback in Brandon Weeden, how do you see that matchup with that pass rush?
Well, you know, I expect him to get after Weeden, and I expect him to give him some looks that are going to cause him to pause for a second and help that pass rush get there. Look, Vic, you know these teams, this is not a six-month job. The season ends, and rather than the coaches being in the office from 5 a.m. until 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, they come in at 8 a.m. in the off season and they leave at 7 and 8 o'clock at night. What are they doing all off season? Well, they're looking at their opponents in one regard, and they're trying to find ways to scheme against. And I think what teams have done is they've done a very good job of scheming the Giants pass rush and their blitz packages, and even just their four-man rushes and their NASCAR defense where they put the two ends inside and bring in the other two ends. I think they're doing a pretty good job of scheming against it. And now it's the Giants' turn to have to make an adjustment. The other thing that's happened is, you know, the quarterbacks are getting the ball out of their hand quicker. You'd be silly if you're going to take to a lot of seven-step drop. And the third factor in all this, Vic, is they've gone against three of the most athletic quarterbacks in the NFL in their first four games. I mean, Tony Romo got out of a bunch of sacks because he's Tony Romo and he's ridiculously athletic and he can spin and run and get away from pressure. They've played Cam Newton and they've played Michael Vick. Not exactly sitting ducks back there.
Sure.
So, you know, I think it's a combination with their sack numbers being down of teams doing a better job of getting the ball out of the quarterback's hand and scheme-wise. And the other thing is they've played against three really good athletes.
Mm-hmm. They also played against a very good running back by the name of LeSean McCoy last Sunday night. And particularly in the second half, he started to get some breakout runs. He finishes with 123 rushing yards against the Giants, 5.3 yards average. For Browns fans, they're going to feel encouraged that Trent Richardson, a very highly talented rookie, might be able to have some success. What do you think?
Well, you know, it's interesting because in the first half, McCoy had six carries for 2 yards. And so obviously he got a bulk of it in the second half. And the Giants were really angry at themselves. Now, McCoy's he's a tremendous player, and you take nothing away from him. But of his first 15 runs in the game, 10 of them were for zero or negative yards, which means that they were doing a pretty good job with the exception of 5 runs. They were shutting them down pretty good. And what happened was a couple guys decided that, you know, they got out of the integrity of the defense. They played very disciplined in the first half, as they did in the entire game against Cam Newton. And then what happened last week was, I think in the second half, guys started getting a little frustrated because they weren't getting a Vic.
Right.
And I think what happened was, I think guys just started trying to do too much. Hit the home run when all you needed was a single. And I thought they had some guys flying out of position looking to make big hits on McCoy and, you know, keep him in these negative carries. But that guy is so good that if you have lane integrity issues and he identifies it and the first guy doesn't get him, well, then he's looking for that cutback. And then when he's in space, it's really hard to bring him down one-on-one. So take nothing away from LeSean McCoy, but I think some of the Giants' problems were simply a lack of discipline, because it's not like he ran over them the entire game. But in the second half, they gave up some big runs and some things that they feel could be corrected.
Well, it should be interesting on Sunday, Browns and Giants. And, Bob, you'll have the call, of course, for the Giants Radio Network. You can hear his great work also on the opening drive on Sirius XM NFL Radio. Highly recommend that. Bob, thank you so much, my man.
Anytime, Vic.
All right. Much more is coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.